Hey, I'm James. In the second RPG that I ever planned to stream after a successful campaign of Conan the Barbarian was Nathan Paoletta's Worldwide Wrestling was powered by the apocalypse. And everyone bought masks and makeup and everyone looked great, and then the hardware didn't work. And I'll always wonder what could have been. But I'm here to dork out about dungeons and designs and more wrestling on Crumbling Keeps, the Dungeon Dorks. So last week, I started playing Luchador Hero, and we went through character creation, explained a little bit of how the game worked, and had our initial scene where my hero got their hook, got their info about what could potentially be a new crime in town. So just as a little recap, I am playing Alfred, whose alias is The Wrecker. And Alfred is a secret hero. Started off going for a little bit of Batman-y vibes, but then rolled that his drive for being a hero is fame and glory. So I think Alfred, well, to put it bluntly, just kind of sucks more than Batman might. And I mean that in a fun way. And so for the initial prompt, the starting situation, I rolled a new wrestling club recently opened in town. The luchadors that trained there proved to be fierce opponents in the ring, showing unusual endurance and exceptional strength. Recently, one of them was hit in the head by a beer, thrown by a rowdy spectator. As soon as this happened, sparks started flying from his ears, mouth, and nostrils, followed by thick black smoke. The wrestler twitched uncontrollably before falling face first on the mat. It turned out that the luchador was actually a sophisticated combat cyborg. Something strange is definitely happening in that new wrestling club. And so our investigation starts there, and that would be our first scene. And I rolled for an enemy and a task in this scene to see what I would be up against. And the enemy is going to be a cannibal imp, and the task is going to be interrogate or intimidate a suspect. So, how does this all come together? The thing I like about solo games like this is I could just leave it at that, roll the dice I need to roll, and figure out what happens next. The mechanical part of the game will take care of itself. It's very clear, and there's not going to be a point where I have to be like, I don't know what dice to roll next or what happens next, because it's spelled out by the game itself. That said, it does allow me to paste a narrative over top of it to decide what is going on. So I think for myself, it's a great mix of I get to have my fiction, but without having to feel like I am the sole GM of the game, as the game does a good job of doing that by itself. So let's say Alfred shows up on the night of a big wrestling event there. And Alfred, who is looking for fame and glory, doesn't want to be spotted in this instance or recognized. So Alfred has obviously a big fake mustache on that curls at the edge. While it does lead him to be not recognizable, its absurdity does draw maybe a little too much attention, so we'll see how that pans out for Alfred, who pays his admission like everyone else and files in with the horde of people, smelling of booze. A lot of them have been pre-partying. It's a hot night, and you can just smell the sweat, and everyone is ready to see some violence. And Alfred can't just help but think that he might end up seeing the most of it. So as everyone channels down the walkway to get to their seats, Alfred breaks off to find a restroom and soon finds a door to the guts of this place, and closes it behind him. The sound of the crowd now muffled by the thick door. And this kind of hallway he's in now is ill-lit with a dim red light. You can just hear the constant buzz of it. This is obviously not a place for the public. Alfred smooths his clothing downward and starts to walk down the highway. I'm sorry, the hallway, keeping his eyes and ears open.
You shouldn't be here.
Alfred stops, his head looking, like his head swiveling so that he can look above him. I say, chap, what kind of creature are you? Up in the metal rafters above his head, there's an imp, a disgusting looking creature, like a misshapen baby, with a rat-like tail with a barb at the end. It holds something in its little lizard-like hands that it's chewing on.
Master said I was to guard the way. Master said no one comes.
And it takes a big bite out of the thing in its hand before dropping it, and it is the remains of a finger.
That's uncouth, disgusting. Have at you, you little imp. We cannot have this.
And Alfred squares up. I was like, does Alfred have a weapon? You know, I think Alfred maybe walks with a cane, right? Let's add that gimmick in there. So Alfred takes his cane and then like points the tip of it toward the imp, like swirling it around in a kind of like, I don't know what kind of motion I want to say that. Provocative, as it is meant to provoke.
Aha!
The imp leaps down, wings unfolding, and dive bombs toward Alfred, also known as the Wrecker. So this is going to be our first combat. So there's only one role for combat, and I make it. And it is either above the DR of the enemy, and if so, I do damage, or it's below, and they do damage to me. If it's even, we both damage each other. So it is going to be a muscles roll. Now this is unfortunate. First real roll of the game where I have to roll skill, and it's one I have no dots in. So I still get to roll it, but that means I roll 2d6, and I take the worst of the two rolls. So, given that a roll, we have a 6, which would have been really nice, and a 3, which is what we're going to have to take, because it's the lower of the two rolls. So we're going to take that 3, and we are going to compare it to the difficulty of the cannibal imp, which is also 3. So we have tied right off the bat, which means we are both going to take 1 point of damage. So that's going to take me down to a 5, and the imp down to a 2, as the imp started with 3. So the imp flies down, its tail flashes out, nicking the shoulder of the Wrecker, who tosses his cane in the air to reverse his grip on it and grabs it by the bottom, and uses the hook portion of it to hook around the imp's neck and throws it, bouncing off a wall. However, the imp is a sturdy thing, and it just kind of giggles, only slightly bruised. And it leaps to make its next attack. And so we roll again, and we got a 3 and a 4, so we're taking that 3, which is again tied against the difficulty rating of the imp. The imp latches on to Alfred, and its tail is just flickering in his face, scratching it repeatedly. The Wrecker shoves with all his might forward, hitting it against the wall, and they both take another damage. The imp is down to 1, and Alfred, in his second round of his second encounter, is down to 4 out of 6. This is not going the best. So let's roll again, see what happens to that next one. Oh, this isn't great. I rolled a 2 and a 5, and because we don't have a lot of muscle, or any muscle, we have to take the 2, because we're rolling basically at disadvantage, right? The imp is angry after being bounced off the wall and raises its claws and just breaks them down Alfred's face, drawing rivulets of blood that drop onto the ground, causing Alfred to stumble back, dropping it. The imp lands on the ground and skitters forward. And we roll again. And again a 2 and a 5. And just uses its claws to run up Alfred's chest, pulling clumps of flesh out. We are now at 3 out of 6. Half our life is gone already. Am I going to die in this first encounter? I don't want to use my resolve or hero points yet. But let's see what happens on this next roll. A 6 and a 5. So we're going to take that 5 as it's the lower of the two. The enemy's difficulty rating is 3. 5 minus 3 is 2. So that's going to be 2 points of damage to the imp. So that's going to be enough to kill it. And so as it stands on the wrecker's chest, its tail raised high, poised at its throat, it stabs downward. The wrecker's faster. He grabs the tail in mid-thrust and uses it to whip the imp off of him, first to the left, then to the right, swinging it back and forth and beating it off the floor, probably more than he needs to. But he's not doing great here. Until it stops moving, and then a good few more times for good measure. Out of breath and panting, he stands up and wipes his hand on his pants. Thankfully, no one was here to see this one. It was not my best showing. I've done better, I will tell you that. I've felt better, too. There's gotta be an easier way to get famous. So, I believe we get an option to rest once per scene. Healing. A short rest in a quiet place will restore 3 VP. Okay, that's good. There are no enemies present or traps present, so I believe we are good to do this. We can rest once per scene. Great, okay. So when I take a short rest, which is what this is going to be, I have to roll a d6. On a 1 to 2, I'm disturbed by the rest, or disturbed during the rest, and something else comes at me. So I think he's going to just like kind of slump down against a wall in this ill-lit hallway and try and catch a breather. And we're going to roll one dice to see if he's disturbed, and it's a 1, which means he is. So even as he sits there trying to catch his breath, we will roll again on the enemy table, which is going to be 2d6. That's going to be a 10. Oh my god. No, this is fine. Everything's fine. He hears the announcer's voice from far away announcing the start of the first match, and everyone's cheering. He thinks he has some time. Any other sound is drowned out by this cheer, so he doesn't hear, coming around the corner, the heavy footfalls of a large, hairy being. It wears a, so the creature is a suburban Sasquatch. And the thing I like about this game is I have no idea what a suburban Sasquatch is, so I just get to make it up. And I appreciate that it's not urban Sasquatch, it's a Sasquatch from the suburbs. You know what? We're going yard care dad on this Sasquatch. It's wearing an impossibly huge pair of white New Balances, khaki shorts, a button-up Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned at the top, holding a light beer in its hand. And it has ribbons tied around its biceps to make it look bigger, because obviously this suburban Sasquatch is also a wrestler. It's gotta be, right? It looks at Alfred, who notices it now. Alfred looks up at it. He sees as the suburban Sasquatch eyes go down to the imp and back to Alfred. And the Sasquatch smiles.
This is good. I could use a little practice before my match.
The Sasquatch takes that light beer and chugs it, and then smashes the can against its forehead. The wrecker uses his cane to stand up on wobbly legs. No time like the present, old chap. I've done your friend in, I'll do you in too, and then find out who's behind this. Be you flesh, or be you metal?
If only you knew the half of it, said the Sasquatch, taunting.
And let's roll for that first attack. So I'm rolling at disadvantage again, because it is still muscle. And I'm going to roll a 4 against a Sasquatch rating of 4 as well. So I didn't get to heal yet, which is not great. So I am going to spend a resolve point. One of my 4 resolve points. So that's going to go down to 3. And that's going to bump my result up to a 5. Which is enough to do 1 point of damage to the Sasquatch, but also enough that I don't get damage in return. So the Suburban Sasquatch charges down the hallway, bellowing. Alfred dashes to the side and holds his cane out at an angle and trips the beast, who falls on his face. Some empty cans fall out of his wrestling trunks. I don't know why the Suburban Sasquatch has become a drunk, but here we are. Alright, so rolling for round 2 of this combat. A 2 and a 4. Okay, this is bad. The Suburban Sasquatch gets up and hoists Alfred above his head. I will break you! And brings him down onto his knee in a spine buster, doing 2 points of damage to Alfred, leaving him with 1 vitality point left. And this seems like a really good time to look at the rules for GTFOing, because you don't have to win every battle. You can flee. And so to do so, I have to make an acrobatics check. And I need to make a 5 or 6. So I have 1 dot in acrobatics, which means I'm rolling 1 dice. So this isn't looking good. I have 1 vitality left. Let's see what happens. Okay, so the wrecker knows he's outmatched now, right? His back has been smashed on the knee. He crawls to his hands and knees and rolls a 3. And now if I remember correctly, I needed a 5 or a 6 to make that actually happen. Yes, that is true. So my options right now. I'm failing with a 3. I'm failing by 2 points. Because I failed, I take a point of damage per enemy I'm facing, which I'm facing 1. I have 1 vitality point. This would knock me out. So rather than end the episode, I'm going to do the unfortunate thing and spend 2 resolve points and go down to 1. So I succeed. So I start crawling away. The Sasquatch grabs my ankle and picks me up upside down until my face is even with his, and he snarls. And this is where the resolve points come in. I wiggle in his grasp and poke his eyes, 3 Stooges style. He drops me, and thankfully I roll when I hit the ground. And I run as fast as I can. I avoided the Sasquatch. I gotta rest. I'm at 1 point of vitality. I have 1 resolve point left. I am doing terribly at this game, and this is great. So I run past him, let's say. I go farther into the labyrinthine halls that make up the guts of this wrestling arena. I can hear the crowd cheering somewhere out there. I can hear a bell ringing. Doesn't matter to Alfred right now. I see what looks like a restroom. I open the door. I dash inside. There's no one in there. At least not yet. And so I go into the stall and close the door and like bring my feet up onto the toilet and dab at the numerous contusions I have. Okay, so I gotta roll a dice again. If I get a 1 or 2, this rest is going to be disturbed. I'm a little unclear here. It says you can only attempt to rest once per scene. Or it says you can't rest more than once per scene. And I'm kind of taking it that since my rest was disturbed, I haven't officially rested yet. So I'm going to pretend I can still do this. Who's going to stop me? Martin, if you happen to listen to this episode and you're like, you're cheating, let me know. I'll own up to it. Okay, so we're rolling that dice, and we need to not roll a 1 or 2. Oh my god, I rolled a 1 again. So the Wrecker, who might be the worst hero ever, is sitting in the stall, trying to catch his breath. And that's when he hears movement outside. The door of the bathroom opens. And now we roll for another enemy to see what comes in. This is a hilarious name for an enemy. I love this. And again, I love how open to interpretation they are. Like, what is a suburban Sasquatch? I don't know, but we found out. So we hear someone open the bathroom door. He tries to stay as silent as possible. He hears a zipper. For some reason, it echoes in this room, the noise of the zipper being unzipped. And then the telltale sign of urine hitting the black backsplash of a urinal. The zipper goes back up. He hears the door to the outside open again. He swallows hard as he notices he did not hear the sound of running water. Somebody didn't wash their hands. And that's only his biggest concern for a moment, as the urinal door flies open, and he sees a Fleabag chupacabra in front of him, a goat sucker, fleas jumping in its fur, wearing brightly colored wristbands, marking it also as a wrestler in this attraction tonight. There's like stink lines coming off of this thing, especially the hands. And our friend here, the Wrecker, is surprised. So we are going to go right into combat again. No rest for the wicked. So we're using that muscle, which we don't have a lot of. And so we're rolling at disadvantage. That's 2 dice and taking the least. And so that's going to be I rolled a 4 and a 6. So we're going to be using the 4. The difficulty rating of the Chupacabra is a 3. That's good, because that means 4 minus 3 is 1. I'm going to do a point of damage to it. So he opens the door. The Wrecker gags, because this is friggin' disgusting, and slides down to sit upon the toilet and kicks out with both feet, hitting the Fleabag Chupacabra in the midsection, sending it flying backwards into a sink, which breaks, and water starts spraying into the air, of which the Chupacabra seems upset about. And the Wrecker makes mental note of this. Perhaps it doesn't like water. Perhaps it doesn't like being clean. And we roll for round 2. Okay, this isn't bad. A 5 and a 6. Now, a reminder, I only have 1 vitality point left here. So if I get hit, I am done. So a 5 against its difficulty rating of 3 means I'm going to do 2 points of damage, which is what it has left. So it gets back up, shrieking. Alfred runs over to it, kicks it into midsection, puts it in a headlock, and drags it into the path of this water. It thrashes and screams until it just goes limp in his grasp, and he drops it and slumps down onto its body, exhausted. And you know what he's going to try and do? He's going to try and rest again. I have a 2 in 3 chance of this working out, and it has not worked out yet. So we're going to roll, and we roll a 3. Even as this place floods and water starts trickling out, he gets his rest in and regains 3 vitality points and is now up to 4. So that was my 1 rest per scene. Maybe I'll make it through this. Woo! Okay. And so, you know what? My task comes next, and that's to interrogate a suspect or intimidate them. So I think that's going to be our Chupacabra. That's also part of the reason he's waiting here. He was waiting for it to wake up. Okay, so he takes his cane, and he, this isn't realistic, but whatever, he uses the crook of it, kind of like a wrench, to tighten a valve to stop the water from coming out. And the Chupacabra's eyes flutter open. About time, chap. Now, maybe it's time you tell me what's going on here.
I would never talk to you,
says the Fleabag Chupacabra in my best Fleabag Chupacabra voice. There's no reason for that, chap. We don't have to be enemies. Look at us both. Wet, miserable. Where did this get any of us? Let's cooperate. As you can see, I'm somewhat of a wrestler myself. I'm just looking to get in on this situation, maybe spend some time in the ring. What do you say? So I've gone with interrogate a suspect with brains rather than muscles, because my muscles suck, and I have two brains. So this is going to be my first non-combat skill check. So we're going to roll, and we're going to take our highest roll, and that is going to be, we rolled a 3 and a 5, and re-rolled a 5. Okay, so here's the breakdown of what dice rolls mean. 1 to 2 is you fail. 3 to 4 is you succeed with a consequence. 5 to 6 is you just succeed. If it's double 6s, you also gain a hero point. We didn't do that, but we did succeed.
Ah, I have to admit, you do have the wrestling chops. Let me take you to see my employer,
which I think is going to be, lead us to the next scene. And so now all that's done, I get to try and find a clue. Okay, so I roll dice to see what kind of investigation check it is. And that is going to be a 5. Decipher a coded note, which is going to be a brains check, which is good for me. Okay, so as I get up with the Chupacabra to go meet his employer, supposedly, I noticed some writing on the bathroom stall wall. It's coded. I only have a moment to figure it out before I follow this beast out. So I am going to make a brains check. I'm rolling 2d6 for it. And I rolled a 5, which is a success. And so I do figure out what the notes say, which, good for me. So that means I have one clue. So I think that I don't have a really good way to figure out what it says right now, right? Because so much of that relies on what kind of information is revealed to me in the future through the random table rolls, right? So I'm going to mark down that I have one clue, and I'm going to take a note where that clue came from. And I think what I'll do is have like a flashback later on, where I go over all the clues and figure out their meaning. So one clue, coded message in the bathroom. And that is the end of our first scene. So we're going to roll for our second scene here and figure out where that's going to happen. And this is where the Chupacabra will take us. And that is a 2d6 roll. And I got a 4. We're going to an archaeological site, which is going to have 3 enemies and 1 clue. That's absolutely terrible. Great. Okay, so that is where we will get to next time on part 3. Wish me luck. I'm not doing great. I just got through 3 enemies, and we saw how it did for me. So, depending on who these enemies are, it might not be good. I am regretting, maybe, not taking more muscles. I guess I didn't really think through that, like, I will be in combat every single time, so maybe I should be ready for it, but here we are. But I do hope you're enjoying this, and again, if you are or you aren't, feel free to let me know by going to crumblingkeep.com/question. Or drop me an email at info@crumblingkeep.com. But whatever the case, we will have to keep playing until we see the finishing move at this point.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.